Please help us finish in the black for the 8th consecutive year by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2015. Every year we review the top religion stories from the Religion News Writers Association. We often compare them to our resident news writer, Terry Mattingly's list of top stories. We're going to do the same for 2015 here on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. On this New Year's Eve, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly will be our guest as we look at the top religion stories of 2015. After that, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on an angel visiting Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Then in hour 2 of Issues Etc., the circumcision and name of Jesus, Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Joining us to talk about the top religion stories of 2015, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
And hello to you.
How did the Religion News Writers Association top 10 list compare with the Mattingly top 10 list?
Well, it's really interesting that we agreed on two of the top three events. We had them in different orders, but you know, but that's a start. I mean, and to some degree, there were some things that were similar. But I think this is the first time in like a quarter of a century of voting in this poll that there were, out of the top 10 events from the Religion News Writers Association, I missed on five of them. Half of my list is different from their list. And the key difference to me was I saw this as the year of ISIS, in large part. I saw it as an astonishingly brutal year in terms of the global scene for the persecution of religious minorities around the world. And then in the midst of that, you throw in the horror of the massacre in Charleston, South Carolina. You put that into the mix as well. And, you know, when I got through and I looked at my list, I went, man, you know, this is a horrible, violent list. And my number one choice for the story of the year was essentially ISIS in general. And the way that was worded, it placed third in the RNA poll. ISIS expands its reign of horror in Syria and Iraq, claims responsibility for beheadings of 21 Coptic Christians, the burning alive of a Jordanian pilot, the deaths of hundreds on a Russian airliner, and deadly bombings in Beirut and Paris. Now, when you look at news for the year, and then you say Beirut, Paris, and then right at the end of the year, you say San Bernardino. I mean, that's a deadly trio. I mean, because Paris is two different attacks, you know, beginning and end. And then you throw in just the relentless pounding, you know, of what's been happening to religious minorities of all kinds in the Middle East. And to me, that was overwhelmingly the dominant story of the year. I chose as my newsmaker of the year, I chose the martyrs of Libya, the Ethiopian Christians that were slaughtered in that video by ISIS. That was who I picked. And frankly, when I cast that selection, I thought, to some degree, to be real honest about it, that's me speaking, you know, as an Eastern Orthodox Christian who highly identifies with the churches of the Middle East. I thought the newsmaker of the year would be the martyrs of Charleston, to be perfectly honest with you, because that's a story that pushed so many buttons at the same time. I honestly did not think that the newsmaker of the year would once again be Pope Francis. And that's where the difference in our list come to head. Pope Francis is all over the RNA list. And for the third straight year, Pope Francis was declared the global newsmaker of the year, at which point I really would like to stop and ask the question. I mean, what did the Pope do this year that was all that surprising? Or what did the Pope, who is featured in our newspapers and wire services and TV accounts, what did that Pope, let's call him the Pope of the media, what did the media's Pope do this year that was all that different? And I didn't see that much. In fact, I thought it was a symbol of the year that the Pope could come to the United States of America. Normally, automatically, what would be, you know, like the biggest story of the year on the religion beat, kind of like the Olympics for religion writers, is a papal tour. I thought that this was an unusual year, and I knew it when I did it, that I didn't even have the Pope's visit to the America in the top 10, because I thought there were so many other events this year that were so significant. So I didn't have the Pope. I didn't have him as Newsmaker of the Year. In fact, I had him third on my ballot. So to some degree, RNA saw it as another year of the Pope. And then at the top of that, you say, well, what does that have to do with their top choice? The number one religion news event of the year was the U.S. Supreme Court legalization of same-sex marriage. And I had that voted number two. I mean, there's no question that and its impact on religious liberty was a very, very big event. And they had it number one. I had it number two. But when you look at the rest of the list, theirs was basically a kind of the Pope says hurrah for social issues, and I saw it as the year of ISIS. So that's the long and the short of it.
Well, I got an ISIS question for you then. Why do you think it is that the News Writers Association didn't, or the Religion News Writers Association, didn't have more ISIS in their list? And I'm just going to pose a question to you. Do you think it's because they're reticent, as much of the media is, to make the explicit connection between ISIS and Islam?
I think that's part of it. I also think to some degree that we have this ongoing issue of just not being able to picture what's happening there. And in large part, that's because the evening news and the cable networks really can't put it on the screen. In other words, it's impossible to cover the ISIS story, because if you go in, ISIS will kill you. And we live in a country where if it's not on video, we don't believe it emotionally. It doesn't really hit us. And for obvious reasons, and I agree with the decision, you can't put the horror of ISIS on the evening news. And I don't think it's fully soaked in for Americans what is happening to religious believers of various kinds over there in the Middle East. And I also think, in an ironic way, this is our rare chance to blame George W. Bush and Barack Obama at the same time. I think America's work policy, fumbles, mistakes, errors of strategy, I think we've had a really, really, really bad decade in the Middle East. And I'm not sure Americans just want to think about that much. That, I mean, we went over there flying our flag of one man, one vote, you know, let everybody vote, let's change, let's do a game change, mission accomplished in the Middle East. And yet, like so many nations that have tried to intervene to save the Middle East from itself in the past, that just doesn't seem to be possible over there. So I think to some degree, Americans just aren't really, we're not ready to accept what's happening there. Let me just give you a small example. My column last week for the Universal Syndicate was about a book about the man proposing that there was such a thing as the Great Christmas Comet over Bethlehem. And you'd think that's pretty far from ISIS. But in the middle of the discussion, we got into the fact that a lot of records in the Middle East, in terms of Babylonian libraries and scrolls and early Christian writings and things, we got into a discussion of how you would attempt to document if there was a comet during that period of time, other than say that the Chinese kept very close records on comets, but they tended to go after the ones that meant something to them as a culture. Whereas opposed this comet, you know, had great significance to the early church. And in the midst of this discussion, it just came up, well, how is this going to be done if so many of these libraries right now are all being destroyed? I mean, there are, you know, monastery after monastery, library after library. These things are, they're gone. Literally, centuries of basic records of the early church and of other cultures in that region of the world are being destroyed. And you can have the Taliban destroy some statues of the Buddha, and you can put that on the evening news, and we can watch the stone figures blown up, and we can handle that. But the kinds of massacres and the kinds of trashings and burnings that are occurring right now in the Middle East, they're not on video for us, because there is nobody there to film them, because our media would be killed if they went in to do it. So I think that's the major factor right now. Americans don't want to think about it. We're not even sure who these alleged Christians are. They don't look like the churches that we see in our city. And our media isn't sure that Christians can be martyrs either. They're not crazy about that idea, because it's hard to picture Christians as anything when it comes to being victims, because we all know that Christians are the people who do the oppressing, not the people who get oppressed. And as we saw in the Sudan era, it's just not a story that you turn on your cable TV and the religion element of it's there. We're just not comfortable with it. And the fact that it's become a political issue, whether or not you refer to ISIS as a radicalized form of Islam, a group that's doing what they're doing because of political ideology, whereas every time you look at their statements, their political ideology is the same thing as their religious theology. And Americans aren't comfortable with that either. So it's just, it's not there. It's not there yet.
The Religion News Writers Association also, for their number two, had basically the migrants from Syria,
right,
pouring out over mostly Europe. What are your thoughts on that place?
That's a big story. I had that in my top 10, but you see, I have that as a result primarily of what's happening in the Middle East. So to some degree, they put the symptom number two, and they put the events that caused the symptom further down in the list. I think the refugee issue is bigger in the eyes of a lot of journalists because it has more political implications for the American White House race. And as we all know, politics is the ultimate reality. Politics is what matters the most. So to some degree, let's say that they put Donald Trump number two, because that's why that's there, is Trump, you know, the Trump and the Let me just give you an example of a story that's not getting much play. The Southern Baptist Convention is the nation's largest Protestant flock. And the Southern Baptist Convention has come out now over and over rejecting policies that say no more refugees. Now, they've said that we're in favor of being cautious. I think the Southern Baptist Convention would feel more comfortable with a refugee policy that emphasizes women, children, and families over like the 70% of the refugees who are single, unattached Muslim males between the ages of 20 and 40, which is a pretty consistently, frankly, dangerous group of people when you just kind of look at the world scene. That's the very essence of the whole stereotypical Muslim extremist demographic. But there are a lot of Christians who are saying, we would like to be more cautious about the refugee situation than we apparently are being, but there is no way in the world you can justify cutting it off. And that's a position that doesn't show up in a simple yes-no answer. And the Southern Baptist statements on this issue, for example, are not getting very much press attention, just as the Southern Baptist Convention's leaders being vocally outspoken against Trump isn't getting a lot of coverage as well. We can only hope that some of that gets straightened out in the primary season, because once again, primaries are all important because it's political. But I'm not holding my breath right now.
Speaking of Trump, the number four story, according to the RNA list, is, and I think it's kind of the subtext, is Trump, anti-Muslim rhetoric flares in the U.S. and Europe as some politicians call for surveillance of Muslims and a ban on Muslim refugees, citing terrorism fears. What do you make of that?
That's Trump part two. I mean, isn't it? If they, you know, if to some degree Trump is number two and number four in the RNA poll. And notice how little anti-Muslim rhetoric flares in the U.S. and politicians call for surveillance. Notice how little that one has to do with religion or with religious leaders or religious groups in America. Who are the religious groups in America who are found guilty right now of anti-Muslim rhetoric? I'm not sure I had that one in my top 10 as well. In fact, I didn't.
When we come back, we're going to turn to Pope Francis in the top religion stories of 2015. Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners notice first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size. And the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the top religion stories of 2015 with Terry Mattingly. Terry, before the break, you mentioned that Pope Francis got pushed off your list of top 10 stories. In the Religion News Writers Association list, Pope Francis appears a number of times, three times in fact, but here in position 5 for his visit to the U.S. and 7 for his encyclical. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, to some degree, the encyclical put into writing what he had been saying. If there was going to be I came very close to putting the Pope toward the bottom of my top 10, And I was just going to say the visit deserved to be in the top 10 because all of the themes of the encyclical and everything else was put into the sermons and speeches during the visit. So to some degree, I thought that the big story, the big Pope story of the year was the content of his visit. Whereas it's when you look at the RNA list as a whole, what really matters is Pope Francis' superstar. You know, the figure of the man who is the hero of the mainstream and progressive world right now, or they think he is. So that's really how I interpreted that. Seven is, of course, the encyclical on environment. That's a very, very hot-button issue, really, for the left, the cultural left more than anything else. There are moderates on that, but you don't read about them in the newspapers. I just didn't see that ranking up there with the stuff that unfolded in Paris and San Bernardino and everywhere else.
I'm curious about the wording and your thoughts here, the wording of number six in the RNA list. And I'll just read it to you, and you tell me what you think. Paris reels from its second major terrorist assault in 2015 on November 13th as attackers linked to the so-called Islamic State kill at least 130 and wound many others at a concert hall, restaurants, and other sites.
I have absolutely no idea what the word so-called means in that sentence. That's like the alleged Islamic State. Well, to some degree, it is what it calls itself, and it's currently functioning as an Islamic State, and it's functioning as a caliphate, not because millions of Muslims reject it, but it's functioning as a caliphate because lots and lots of Muslims accept it or kind of seem to not be willing to refuse it yet. So the Islamic State is a very controversial issue within Islam, and I think it's very important to cover that debate with voices on both sides. But in that question, I'm assuming that's what jumped out at you was the word, the so-called Islamic State. At the moment, the Islamic State isn't going anywhere. It is a functioning reality in the Middle East. It loses some, but it seems to win more. To me, the big event of this coming year, you often ask me to predict what would be the things to look for. At some point, if American and Russian bombing manages to stall the Islamic State, and it looks like it's not going to get to Damascus, I would say that one of the big issues now is where does the state, Islamic State, go next in trying to get more territory and more people? Which direction do they send their armies next?
Number eight in the RNA list, and I wonder if you think it should have been a little higher. That's the South Carolina, the Charleston church shooting there. And then, of course, it came with the strong symbolism of the Confederate flag reaction there.
Well, that's partly interesting because, first of all, it is a profoundly theological and religious event, both for the person on the other side of the gun who was hating and talking about it, and as stressed in that incredible cover story at Time about the kind of the theology behind the forgiveness issue related to it. This was just a religious event all the way around. And I would put into that the kind of wrestling match over the flag. There's profound theological questions involved in that. And once again, we saw the Southern Baptist Convention and some other conservative groups speaking out, maybe not with the exact same solution for what to do with the flag, but agreeing that this was a substantial issue and that, most importantly, we should listen to the African-American church on this issue and that its point of view, that they had first rights to talk about this situation. And that's why I put that one, that's my number three story of the year. I thought in the world of religious events with religious content, boy, I had that one way higher.
Did Black Lives Matter and then the kind of loose coalition of religious supporters for that online movement, then that campus movement, and the Ferguson movement and everywhere else it manifested itself. With all of the things being equal, did it belong on the list?
I didn't have it in my top 10, in large part because I thought the church's role and reaction to Ferguson was pretty much a story of the previous year, in large part. And once again, I guess my list this year was more global in its basic scope than it was American and political. This was a year when, to me, my own eyes were dominated by what was going on at the global scene.
And then the tenth most important religion story, according to the RNA list, is again coming back for one last appearance, Pope Francis and his reformist agenda.
Well, and see, almost every single thing that it said, ending a three-year supervision of U.S. nuns, that was a very important decision, but yet again, the press didn't actually cover the document and what was actually said. You know, what was said about the U.S. nuns, and that also the way that's worded, supervision of U.S. nuns, it sounds like all of them, instead of supervision of one of the two organizations of U.S. nuns. I mean, as if the U.S. nuns are a monolith. There was actually a very small percentage of the kind of the leadership of American nuns and sisters who were ever questioned by the Vatican at all. So I would question the wording of that. Him continuing to speak out for the needy, that once again assumes that others are not speaking out for the needy. Streamlining the annulment process and recommending a more pastoral tone while upholding church laws on divorce and remarriage. That's the entire family synod situation, and that is simply, at this point, the reason I didn't put that in my top 10 is we don't know what the man's going to say yet. That is an incomplete event. When you look at the actual documents that came out of the family synod, and you compare them with what he said in the United States, I don't think we know what Francis is going to say at this point. And whether, you know, exactly how significant that will end up being is undecided. So I didn't have that one in my top 10 because I don't think that event is over. Until he releases his document responding to the fairly traditional, frankly, document that came out of the family synod, that event, we don't know what it is yet. That could end up being one of the big events of next year. If he released something that called for a change in the catechism, that called for major changes, or does he release a document that essentially just lets Europe be Europe and lets the rest of the world, that's the growing sectors of the Catholic Church, continue to behave the way they want to behave in terms of enforcing and advocating Catholic tradition? That's something that in the past, in the Anglican battles, has been called local option. Now, in Anglicanism, it works a whole lot better to have one church say one thing and another church say another under kind of an Anglican structure for how they work. The Roman Catholic Church is not set up to have the gospel mean one thing in Nigeria and something else in Germany. That isn't how Catholicism is structured. And if in effect he comes out with something that functions as local option, then that is guaranteed to be one of the top 10 stories of next year for sure.
We, and you mentioned this earlier, we do this every year with you, and you gave us a little hint at your possible answer. What do you think the top religion story for next year will be?
Well, one of the things I would watch is whether or not we end up with a court case coming that actually shuts down the ability of doctrinally defined institutions of religious higher learning to exist as tax-exempt organizations. It seems like we're getting a drumbeat right now of school after school after school running into judges that basically say these schools do not have the ability to have a doctrinal covenant that defends Christian tradition and have that covenant be incumbent on the staff, faculty, and students who voluntarily sign it. Now, did you follow that? In other words, these are doctrinally defined communities, No one makes people study there, work there, or teach there. When you come into the community, be it left or right, although most of them, of course, are conservative, you sign a covenant that says, I agree to live by the following doctrines. Well, right now, we're getting spectacular displays of kind of disdain for that in the press and from courts, and I'm wondering how soon that will go to the U.S. Supreme Court as well. Now, something that's almost as important as the Supreme Court is sports. So something I've been thinking about a lot toward the end of the year, when you look at how susceptible advertisers have been to the pressures of people pushing on social issues right now. This is a reach, but it could happen within this year. At some point, I expect pressure on the NCAA through gay and trans LGBT activist groups. I'm expecting pressure on the NCAA to kick out schools that have lifestyle covenants from NCAA athletics, to where if you have sexual morality doctrinal statements, if you have elements of your doctrinal and lifestyle covenant that say that sex outside of marriage, as traditionally defined by centuries of Christian thought, is sin, I'm expecting the pressure to begin building on the NCAA to kick those schools out.
With just a second here, can you give us a few examples of universities that our listeners would know that would be directly affected by that kind of a decision?
Well, that I don't think it would affect Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame has a lifestyle covenant on its entire student body. That would be something I would need to check. Obviously, my own alma mater, Baylor, would be in that list. Brigham Young would be in that list. There would be dozens of schools once you get out of the NCAA championship, the top level of sports. There might be some Catholic schools that still have a lifestyle covenant that affects the entire student body. But the big two that immediately jump out at me are Baylor and Brigham Young.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's also of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks again.
Talk to you next year.
When we come back on this Thursday, this New Year's Eve, we're going to be talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson, An Angel Visits Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. We often talk about Mary's faith in receiving the promise of the angel. What about Joseph? We'll answer that question right after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.